I remember when I was first got in Church of God, in Church of God district, Washington district, every homecoming we had a back-to-back-to-back, all the churches from all the districts got together and they supported each other's homecoming. And we had singing afterwards. And so it was always packed out. Always. And it was always good. And of course, you always heard about Sister So-and-so's fried chicken and Sister So-and-so's chicken and pastry and these collars. And you go homecoming to homecoming. And during homecoming season, there was five, six churches. I gained about 2 pounds each church. God is so good. Amen. But we're going to do something. I got that here, Philemon 8. And now I'll also turn to 1 Peter 4. 1 Peter 4. You don't know where 1 Peter is. It's right before 2 Peter. And just put your finger there. All right. Got your finger there? Everybody say amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Philemon 8:9. That's what I've been reading for the last few weeks. And believe it or not, it's not going to be a whole bunch on Philemon. Matter of fact, I'll mention it, but this is not about Philemon. This is about a bunch of other guys. And you understand where the revisit came in because I have to tell you, let's read this first. Philemon 8:9. Wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin thee that thou, which is convenient, yet for love's sake, I would rather beseech thee, for being such a one as Paul the aged, now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds, who in time past was unprofitable to thee, but now profitable to thee and to me. And turn to 1 Peter 4 and 10. Everybody got it?
Amen.
As every man hath received the gift. Y'all say every man.
Every
man. Now, point to somebody and say, it's talking to you. And it's also talking to me. Do that. Okay. As every man hath received the gifts, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold or the many, y'all say many.
Many.
The many graces of God. Isn't God awesome?
All the time.
God is awesome. We're going to believe God's going to do something very special. Of course, let's pray. Father, we love you, Lord. We praise your name. We thank you for your grace and your mercy. We know, God, that you are alive and well and on your own throne, God. We know, God, that you've got everything under control. Lord, so many times it doesn't feel like it. So many times it doesn't seem like it. So many times it feels like we're just behind the eight ball. But if we understand, if we can see the whole picture, God is working something special inside of us. And we have to trust him as he's doing all this work. We thank you for it all. In the name of Jesus, we pray. The church said,
amen.
Amen. Amen. This is an oldie, but very much goldie. And this is another thing. Last week I heard two people talking, and it reminded me of this. And I think it was Eddie, and it may have been Doug, or it may have been, I'm not sure who it was, but this reminded me of this. So I said, I'm going to pull out an oldie, but goldie. But this is a good goldie. This is like a double gold. This is an oldie, but platinum. All right, ready? There's a man trying to cross the street. Oh, it was Dollar. There you go. There's a man trying to cross the street. As he steps off the curb, a car comes screaming around the corner and hits straight for him. The man walks faster, trying to hurry across the street, but the car changes lanes and is still coming at him. So the guy turns around to go back, but the car changes lanes again and is still coming to him. By now, the car is so close and the man is so scared that he just freezes and stops in the middle of the road. The car gets real close and swerves at the last possible moment and screeches to a halt right next to him. The driver rolls down the window. The driver is a squirrel. The squirrel looks at the man in the eye and says, see, it's not as easy as it looks. I told you that was platinum. All right, here we go. Lessons learned from Grace Revisited. And there's a reason it is so strong why this is a revisit, okay? Let's just go a little bit further here. Of course, God's love, and this is the only slide from the last few weeks except for this legal inventory done. Agape is the name determination of your will to benefit one another or to benefit another without regard for your own benefit. Agape, listen carefully, because we're going to switch gears a little bit. Agape is the power behind grace. Get ready, hear it. Grace is the power behind ministry. Amen? I mean, I know we've got the Holy Ghost baptism and all that. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about ministry. You've got to be called by God. You've got to be empowered by God. You've got to be led by God. You've got to have God's wisdom. And that all comes through grace, because grace is something we don't deserve, something we don't earn. It comes from God. So, with that in mind, agape is the power behind grace. Grace is the power behind ministry. As each one has received a special gift, everybody in here has a unique gift. None of us are the same. None are the same. I have two brothers that are identical twins, born less than 3 minutes apart. They look alike, they talk alike, they walk alike. They got the same haircut. They both have lost their hair in the same places. I mean, you can't tell them apart. Their own daughters, when they were little, would get them mixed up. And I can't, because I've lived with them all their life. And if I fought one, I had to fight both. That's why I come up so strong, because I had to fight two every time I fought one. It was always a 2-on-1 dogfight. And so, but even though they look alike and they sound alike, even teachers got them mixed up, they're entirely different. One is gifted in the area of art, and the other one is gifted in the area of mechanics. They're entirely different. They look alike, they sound alike, they talk alike. But when you get them, when you put a tool in one's hand and put a brush in the other, things happen. But when you switch them around, it's not so good. Okay? Same way, everybody in this church, all of us, we all got special gifts. And because we all have special gifts, I can't look over at your gift and say, I'd love to have that gift, but you know what? Honestly, it's not cool at all. I would not, you know, if BJ was here playing that piano today, and I said, okay, BJ, he said, can I play the bass? I said, sure, I'll play the piano. I promise you, I even play this little, I tell this little joke to people all the time. I say, you know, I was playing the piano at the church on Sunday night, and I asked people, did they have any requests? They said, yeah, get off the piano. All right, I can pick at it, but that's it. So, everybody's got their own gifts. So with that in mind, let's look at this blown up into the Greek, strong in the Greek. All right, just amplify. Just as each one of you have received a special gift, listen, a special talent, a special ability, graciously given by God. I mean, you didn't earn it. Employ it or do it in serving one another as it is appropriate for good stewards of God, multifaceted grace, faithfully using the diverse, varied gifts and abilities granted to Christians by God's unmerited favor. Wow. God's saying, use what he's given. Amen. Use it. You might think, well, I don't have what this guy's got, or he, or, well, you know what, I got things he don't have either. Okay? So, here we go. Now, here comes in the grace revisited. All right? Look at that. Get out of jail. Remember that card? That card there is from 1934, I think. But that is the get out of jail free card from Community Chest in Monopoly. Okay, this card may be kept until needed or sold. If we're not careful, here's the grace revisit. I spent 2 weeks talking about how God can bring good out of bad, but then I thought about it. think that grace, and there's some guys on television right now, that they preach that grace, actually, all you need is grace, and you still do whatever it is, but you got grace. It's kind of like, you know, where the guys come in and the Father forgives you for what you've done, and next week you do it again, then you, you know, forgive you what you've done. But grace is not a wild card. Grace is not a get out of jail free card. Okay? But matter of fact, grace not only, here it comes, not only does grace forgive us with Philemon and Onesimus, but it forges, it finds your faults and it fixes them and it forms you. So grace has a lot of work going on inside of you. If God's going to give you a ministry gift, don't you know that he's also going to mold you to use this gift? And he's going to put you in the area or put you with people where the gift is either shaped and molded or it's used. So, because of that, this is some very powerful stuff. Get ready. First, let's just talk about the very one we've been on for all these weeks. And it's not, I'm not going to be on it long. I'm just going to say, this is some grace revisited. Onesimus' grace rescued him. All right? He had a rough start. He was a slave. And he didn't like what was going on. Probably was captured. And so now he's a captured man who becomes a slave. And, or either he was an indebted man who becomes a slave. He didn't like this thing, and he didn't like he didn't like Philemon, and so he stole something from Philemon and went on the run. But he was rescued because God got involved. And when God got involved, he got imprisoned. But being in prison wasn't a bad thing because he wound up being with Paul. There's a lot of guys tell me all the time they're glad that they wind up in penitentiary, or they're glad they wind up in some kind of jail somewhere, because it's in there. That's where they found themselves. So that's where he was improved by Paul, and he was interceded for. So he became refined, and we later saw he was a bishop. Now, y'all get ready. Somebody said, put your steel toes on. All right, ready? There occurred such a sharp disagreement with Paul and Barnabas that they separated from one another. This is in Acts. The Acts, hold it, Acts chapter 15. There arose such a sharp disagreement with Paul and Barnabas that they separated from one another. That word sharp disagreement means they had a knockdown drag out. Barnabas is the only one that believed in Paul when God saved Paul. Barnabas is the one that went and rescued Paul. They worked together and went all over the world together, the known world. And they had to bring a guy along in the missionary journey. They brought a guy along that his mother's house was the church. And so his mother was, her house was a church. This guy was raised in church. This guy had all kinds of abilities. His name was John Mark. Now, while there, if you look in the book of Acts 12:25, you'll see how now God is training Mark and sending him with Paul. But you find out that, and he even ministered, Acts 13:5, he ministered with them, meaning actually he worked under supervision, direct supervision of Paul. So here's a guy that has all this going for him. I mean, everything's going good his way. But if you go a little bit further, Acts 13 and 3, the Bible says, or 15:38, the Bible says that while they were on a missionary journey, that Mark departed from them. That word departed is very powerful because it means to instigate revolt. It means to become an apostate, or actually to even backslide. It means to become public domain. So here's John Mark. There's Paul and Barnabas, and there's Silas, and they're doing all this work for God. But when the going got tough, instead of helping, Mark went the other way. So now they're getting ready to go on another missionary journey. Now, if I let me just read this to you. It'd be easy if I just read it. Paul wanted to take John Mark along, the John nicknamed Mark, But Paul wouldn't have him. He wasn't about to take along a quitter, who as soon as the going got tough had jumped ship on them in Pamphylia. Tempers flared, and they ended up going their separate ways. That's another version, but it makes more sense than if I just read it out of King James to you. The tempers flared so much, they were ready to throw down. So they parted, because Paul said, I don't need him. He's not profitable. Matter of fact, I don't see him able to do anything, so we don't need him. And Barnabas said, let's give him another chance. Let's just try. And so they wind up splitting. Wow. So he had a great start. He had a great stall. Then he had a great stop. Paul said, that's it. Barnabas said, it's not. Paul said, well, then do what you want to do, but I'm going this way. So the Bible says that Paul took Silas and Barnabas took Mark. Wow. So grace not only rescues you, and I'm not through with Mark yet. He'll be finished up in a little while. But it redirects. Paul knew that he weren't ready for what was happening. And that actually, instead of being a help, he would actually wind up hurting more than helping. So, no, thank you. Now, not only will grace redirect you, but Peter came to Antioch, I protested and opposed him to his face concerning his conduct there, that he was blamable and stood condemned. Grace also called you out. Grace will rebuke you. Peter, when he was around all the guys over, let's go and read this again. Let's read it. It'll be easier. Rebuke by Paul. Let's do it again. Let's have him get here and read it. For he regularly ate with the Gentiles, this is in Galatia, he regularly ate with the Gentiles before certain men came from James, and that's the church, or James was the brother of Jesus, he was also the head of the church. However, when they came, he withdrew and separated himself because he feared those from the circumcision party. Then the rest of the Jews joined his hypocrisy, so that even Barnabas was carried away by their hypocrisy. But when I saw that they were deviating from the truth of the gospel, I told Cephas, or Paul, or Peter, in front of everyone, if you who are a Jew live like a Gentile and not like a Jew, how can you compel Gentiles to live like Jews? In other words, Paul was getting on him because he had become a people pleaser. You ever know a people pleaser? You ever seen one? He's a poor, straight out people pleaser. That's what he was. He was a people pleaser, and he was trying to keep religion mixed up with salvation. Have you ever tried to keep religion mixed up with salvation? In Galatians, it says that's Paul's angry letter. Paul was angry when he wrote Galatians, because in Galatians, he's writing to him and said, how can you keep the circumcision and how can you keep the sacrifices and trust in what Jesus did for you? You got both going. You can't do both. You got to do one or the other. You either do the ceremonies or you trust Christ. And that was his angry letter. So, grace also, it rescued Onesimus, it redirected Mark, it rebuked Paul. This was a little play on words. Rejected. It didn't reject Demas. Demas rejected Paul. It all says, for Demas, having loved the pleasures of this present world, has deserted me. And gone to Thessalonica, Christians has gone to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. That word forsaken is a very powerful word. It means to leave in a bind, to leave helpless, leave you helpless. Hebrews talks about Moses. And Moses said he forsook Egypt because he knew greater things waited for him, serving God. So there's a positive and a negative there. Here's the negative. You leave me in a bind. You leave me helpless. There's the negative. You deserted me and deserted the work. But in Hebrews, now Moses is doing the same to Egypt. I told you to say, I'm going to keep you long today because this is the whole lot. I'm here to tell you a story. This is so true. Some of y'all have heard this story before. It was necessary for me to tell it again. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with you, for he's profitable to me and for the ministry. Now, Paul has had some years. He's down the road. Paul's getting ready to die. He doesn't know when he's going to die, but it's close. And one of the last recorded words is, you bring Mark to me because he's profitable for the ministry. All right? So now, not only did Mark get redirected, Mark, grace restored Mark. Paul changed his mind. Let me tell you a story. I was pastoring a bath. We were growing, maybe we were growing. That place was packed out all the time. And on the front row, one Sunday morning, I looked and I happened to notice this lady. And she comes on the front row. And of course, we had to have no problems with this before because we had a mixed congregation at times, especially in midweek service. But it was a black lady. She sat on the front row. And my head usher came up to me and said, "Here." I leaned over and said, "What is it?" I'll get ready to start preaching. I said, "What is it?" He said, "This is my last Sunday." And he's a joker. So I said, "Well, come on, man. Well, then go on." He goes, "No, I'm kidding. This is my last Sunday." And I said, "I don't have time for this right now, but please tell me why this is your last Sunday." He said, "You see that woman on the front row?" I said, "Yes, I do." He said, "She's one of the biggest druggies in this area. She does drugs, she sells drugs, and says if she's coming to this church, I won't be here." And I said, "Go sit down. I'll call you later on today. We'll talk." The afternoon, I called him. I prayed about it first, and I called him, and I said, "You know what, man? You're right. You're absolutely right. And I got a new assignment for you. I got a new job for you." He said, "What's that job?" I said, "I want you to stay outside on the porch before every service." He said, "Okay." And I said, "I want you to check everybody when they come in." He said, "All right." I said, "If they're not in the right color, if they're not driving the right car, if they're not dressed right, if you just don't like them, you tell them they're not welcome here to leave." He goes, "What?" I said, "Tell them they're not welcome here. Just tell them to leave." He goes, "What are you talking about?" I said, "Well, you know what Jesus would do?" And he said, "No, Jesus would say everybody's welcome." I said, "Well, then who are you, bro?" He came back and never heard a word about it again. That woman, not only did she get saved, but her and several other women, we sent them to Israel. We sent them to Jamaica. We sent them to multiple places. They became missionaries. We see God rescued her. He redirected her. There was a rebuke for her lifestyle, but she didn't reject it, and God restored her and used her greater than she ever could imagine being done. I can't even imagine. I can't even tell you the times we sent her places. It was just awesome. And that guy became a good friend with that woman. You see, Mark allowed God's grace to pick him up, brush him off, and make him useful. If you're in here today, trust God's grace. If you think you've done something so bad that God can't use you, allow God's grace, something you don't deserve, to pick you up, to brush you off, and to make you useful. And grace is always to equip. Because grace forms us, and it makes something special out of us. But you listen carefully. Get out of hell free. Grace
Grace does keep us from an eternity in Him. That's a fact. But it doesn't stop us from traveling through hell to get there. Amen? So, watch this. We travel through hell many times, but listen to me. We travel through hell many times, number one, because of decisions, usually ours. We made some bad decisions, we made some bad calls, we did some crazy things, we made some just whatever, and we sort of make our own hell. And sometimes we decide to go through hell with somebody else, knowing they made a bad decision, or they did something wrong, or they're having something, a bad thing at the time in life. We go through hell with them, another decision we make, and although it's not our decision, we're going with them because we won't let go. Sometimes God allows us to go through hell on earth to develop us. Who was watching America's Got Talent last week? And I think it was the 82nd Airborne. Made it to the finals, and they're up there singing, and they're talking about, I've been to hell. That's why I've already been to hell. So that's why I can stand here and be calm. I've already been in the front lines. I can stand here and be calm. You know, it's just somebody's been through stuff because they act a whole lot different than somebody's never been through anything. So sometimes God allows you to go through hell just to develop you because something else is coming later on and you need to be ready for it. I had been watching Mysteries of the Museum. Anybody remember the commander from Apollo 13? Jim Lovell? They had in some museum, they had the jet that he was flying when he was in the Navy, and talking about how his radar and all of his instruments went out. It was a training mission. Everything went out, and if he broke radio silence, he would mess up the mission. And so he used his own ingenuity, and I know he prayed with his own ingenuity to get back to the aircraft carrier, and he happened to see a line of those shiny fish. With shiny, whatever they are, it shines up in the water, illuminates the water, and it was from where the aircraft carrier had been, and it made a line. So he dug that line. He was low on fuel, but he kept following that line. The aircraft carrier is what had stirred up. Using ingenuity, he wound up going back down to the aircraft carrier and did not jeopardize that mission. And they said that every time he turned around, they were giving him a new, harder mission, but he always and make it work, and he knew what he was doing. I told Linda, I said, yeah, you watch this, you'll see Apollo 13 follow next. And he was one of the guys that got him back down, and he kept cool while Apollo 13 was getting ready to go off into space forever, trying to get to the moon. And I thought about this sermon. That's my favorite. Matter of fact, I wrote development right then, is because God allowed Jim Lovell to go through all these times of hell to get him ready for that time when he had the ultimate, and that was in Apollo 13, and he was at the moon, and they could not supposedly get him back home. So you're going through something today for your development and also for discovery. Number one, grace is allowing you to go through something, so you'll just discover just how powerful grace is. You get to discover just how powerful God is. But not only is it there for you to discover, it's there for somebody else to discover. Because you might not realize how many people are watching you. You never know. Every now and then, I'll go up to somebody and say, you know something, I really admire you because I see you do such and such and such and such. It's because I don't know if they know the impact they have on my life. Just be watching. And watch their talent and watch how God uses them. And so many times, I'll do that even in jail with some of the guys. I'll tell them, you know, I've been ministering to them for months, and I'll say, they go, man, thank you for being here. You made such an impact on my life. And they go, hey, you made an impact on mine too. And say, how can I make an impact? I'm here dressed in orange and I'm locked up. And I go, yeah, but I watch how you handle other people. One of the guys in the first couple of classes of B5 was a PhD. He was a teacher, and he was a PhD. I like his attitude, but also I haven't come in from time to time and see him helping people as they were trying to get their GED and doing other things, because he was a teacher. And so what I started doing is I would give these guys an assignment to do during the week, and I get the PhD guy over and I take him to the side and I say, I need you to teach these guys this to make sure they're doing it right. And it's amazing how that PhD helped out so much in that, maybe it was the second class, in B5, he was there for like 6 months, but anything I did, anything that I would do, he amplified it because he could take it and run with it. And it was just so amazing. And so I told him, man, you just blew me away. It's amazing. And of course, those people tell me, well, in that drug program, I bet you just got a bunch of deadbeats. Yeah, a deadbeat, all right, a PhD, got a master's degree, you know, a guy, two or three guys that own their own AC businesses and own their own electrical businesses. Yeah, they're a bunch of deadbeats. They're not deadbeats. They're people that all have one thing in common. They have pain. Physical, emotional, mental pain. That's what it was. And so before you get up on your throne and start judging people, how about climb back down and realize that could be you too? Decisions, development, discovery. Get ready to close. Brandon, get ready to play something, bro. This week's challenge. Ask God to help you see grace in its many facets. And all of life's good, all of life's bad, all of life's uglies. Ask God to help you see grace in a whole different picture. You may be knowing somebody, I don't know, but you may know somebody, or know several people that are going through all of these things. They have been rescued, they've been redirected, they've been rebuked, they've been rejected, they've been restored. But you've seen grace working in their life. Ask God to help you look at this in a whole different ballgame. Because if you look at it in a whole different look, a whole different outlook, then you may have more patience with these people. You may have more understanding with these people. Life may be different when you see these people. Learn to embrace God through everything with God's grace. It's not going to be easy, but it's going to be worth it, I promise. Second Corinthians 12:9, he said, my grace is sufficient for you, for your power is perfected through my power. Kind of play there. My power through you, which becomes your power, is perfected through your weakness. You say, I'm just too weak. I've got these faults, and I've got this and that, and God can't use me because I'm not perfect. Well, I want to tell you something. There's nobody in this church that's perfect. Nobody. And when God talks about us being perfect, he's talking about being mature, not being without flaw, being mature. There's a big difference in being mature and being without flaw. My grace is sufficient, which means it'll raise a barrier. My grace is sufficient for you. And when you're weak, you become strong. Because now you're not depending on yourself. You're depending on God. And it's amazing to me. Totally, totally amazing to me what grace can do. Now I feel like I've gone ahead and I've showed that grace is to get out of jail free card. Grace is help me get through life. Everybody stand. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I didn't ask this question. There's Lieutenant, where you're at right now, you may be in the rescue part or the redirected part or rebuked. Whatever, don't be the rejected. Don't reject what God's trying to do. Maybe you're in a restored part. You're Onesimus, Mark, Peter. Don't be a Demas. God has something special for us to do. We got to trust Him that He in our weakness is going to be strong. He's going to work through us and something special is going to happen. With every head bowed, every eye closed, first I'm going to ask, like I always do, is there anybody here that would say, Pastor, I know I can get a whole lot closer to God than I am right now. And I know that I don't try as hard as I should to get as close to God as I can. With every head bowed, every eye closed, would you put it up and say, pray for me, Pastor, I really need to get stronger. I really need to give myself to Him more. Secondly, maybe you're in one of these modes that I just read about. In the rescued, redirected, rebuked, maybe you've even rejected, or you've been restored. You're one of those modes that grace so awesomely does. And maybe you didn't even realize, you didn't see it till today. You gotta trust Him. He does know what He's doing. God knows. Now, I know it's not by happenstance that we happened to see Jim Lovell last night and talk about all the things he went through. And I knew that at the end they were going to pop up Apollo 13. And honestly, all I really ever heard about Jim Lovell was Apollo 13 and him being an astronaut. I never heard about all the things that happened to him while he was a pilot. How God was preparing him, sending him through hell. So that when he would get the biggest hell, Apollo 13, he would be ready. He'd be calm, he'd be cool, he'd be collected. It was a team effort, of course, but he was the commander. And a lot of lives were saved that day, not just the guys in that spacecraft, but a lot of lives, because a lot of people were affected by these guys. You've been going through hell today. As you're going through hell today, you don't realize. Of course, there's always decisions, but maybe it's development. Maybe God's developing you for something. Or some discovery. God wants you to discover Him in a different kind of way. You've heard me say it a million times. I thought I was getting there with counseling and getting there helping people. And when my mama died, it changed everything. Everything. And I ministered entirely different. And then when my wife died, it changed it again. But then when my daughter died, wow, that did the biggest change in the way I minister, in the way I talk to people. Trust God as you're going through hell. And look what He's trying to show you, for His grace is sufficient. And in your weakest moments, you can be the strongest because He told Paul the same thing. He gave him a thorn in the flesh, Satan, the buffet, which means to strike with a fist in the face. He's been stricken constantly by this messenger from Satan. Say, God, remove it. God said, no. You need it, Paul. Paul found a discovery. His grace is sufficient. Maybe you're here today and you're ready for God just to use you. You've let too much go by not being used because you didn't think you were worthy, or you didn't think you were qualified, or you whatever, not knowing that you're the one God wanted to use in that area. Because you wouldn't go in there with the big head, you'd go in there with the big heart. And God could pour into your spirit because you were receptive to Him. Let's all pray. Father, I love you. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your grace because I do not deserve it. I thank you for your mercy because you hold back things I do deserve. I thank you for that. I thank you, God, that you have given me special gifts that nobody else on this earth has. And I thank you, God, that you put me in areas where I can use them. I ask you right now, help me understand that. And Lord, I thank you. And God, I thank you, God, for the times that you rescued me. I thank you for the times that you redirected me. I thank you for the times that your grace rebuked me. Help me not to reject. And I thank you, God, for the times your grace restored me. Help me right now to be all I can be for you. In the name of Jesus, I pray. And the church said,
amen,
amen, amen, amen. Ain't God good? Y'all looking good. I know y'all can't help. Of course, I haven't got smudges on my mask. Y'all really are looking good. Okay. Brother Doug, before first we're going to say the Lord's Prayer, and then we'll Brother Doug to dismiss us in prayer. Ready? The Bible's here. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever.
Our Father in heaven, we thank you so much for this day which you've given us. Lord, we thank you for your grace that you pour out upon us. Lord, we thank you for being with us, and we thank you for this message. We pray that we would go forth from this day and appreciate all that you do for us even more so. I pray that you would be with those who were not able to come today, that you would bless them, and that you would put a desire in their heart to join us in fellowship in worshiping you in spirit and in truth. Father, I just thank you for this day once again. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.